Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. Weekly. We're weekly again.
Yep.
With you is your host, Garth Nelson.
And Jen Barr. And in the background, you can see...
you can hear Yamanote Dori.
Yes.
Hold on. Let me take care of Yamanote Dori.
Garth is going to close the double-paned window so that all of the sounds from outside... See, that was the first pane, and there is the second pane. So that all of the sounds from outside are gone. And see how much quieter that... It's amazing.
It's all of a sudden... Now we have a studio. Woo!
That is... It is so amazing how well your doors work.
Yeah, it was really a good idea of somebody to put two doors there.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, so now you know if you drive up and down Yamanote Dori, you will sometimes maybe pass two people doing a podcast.
Dude, I was trying to figure out which apartment was yours from downstairs by, like, looking at the... counting the numbers and stuff, and I feel like that episode of Friends where Joey sees the hot girl across the way and he counts and goes and starts knocking on doors. Like, I could not figure out for the life of me which apartment was yours from.
It is. You have to look for that goofy dish, the satellite dish, which is out there. That's what...
You have a satellite dish out there?
There, well, it was left there by whoever was here before me.
Oh, because I was like, well, he doesn't have a TV, so how in the world would that be his?
But
maybe
see,
I did
that's
find
how you
it.
Were confused.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to look on the way out today. Well, not today, because I parked it in the building, but someday.
Yeah, you probably don't want to look as you're crashing into somebody else's car.
Yeah, we don't like to crash into somebody else's car.
All right, so it was only 2 days ago since we did, since we last spoke, and what has happened in the last 2 days? Set! We have discovered Set. Actually, I've discovered Set.
I've been introduced to Set.
Yes. Isn't Set the awesomest game ever?
It's pretty fun. I was playing by myself.
Yeah.
And I was winning.
You can play Set Solitaire.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it is a really addictive game. Pretty much everybody I've ever introduced to Set was like, oh wow, really want to keep playing more Set.
Everybody?
Alright, pretty much everybody that I've introduced it to, I probably kept forcing it upon them, so they had no choice but to really enjoy it. But I do really like that game. And I think it does. I think it's actually a really good, kind of mind, expanding, or at least get your mind moving in ways that that
mind
helps it.
Exercising.
Yeah, exercise. It is good brain exercise. Mm-hmm. And one other thing about that game that I have always found kind of interesting, at least right off the bat, always seems like girls and women do better than guys. Like,
so we have to coordinate.
Yeah. I don't know,
like,
but
matching clothes together. These look good together, and these don't. And these look so bad that it's good.
Yeah, I don't know if people have, if you haven't experienced the game of Set. It's a game where you have a bunch of cards with shapes and with different numbers of shapes and colors on them, and you're trying to find three cards in which each characteristic taken category by category is all the same or all different. And for some reason, my explanation is always, it always takes a few sets for people to realize exactly what are valid sets and what are not.
But I think it just took one when we did it.
Yeah, for you, it did go pretty fast. And of course, I guess one of my problems is that I'm often explaining it in Japanese, which I don't have quite the right terminology.
I think, like, you showed me two or three sets and then we were good to go.
Uh-huh. But like when I the first time I played, it was at an Ultimate Frisbee party in America, and it was like it was my guy teammates that we found at first, and we were playing, and we're like, oh, this game is awesome. And then one of the most annoying girls on the Frisbee team comes up, and she's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're playing Set. And usually, you know, we're like, oh, yeah, maybe you want to go get a drink over there or do something over there. But we're like, oh, it'd be fun to kind of beat her and show her how awesome we are at this game. And she killed us. God, it was so annoying. Like it was all of our first time learning to play this game, and then she just steps up, and she's just like, all Set, 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 Set. Like every 2 seconds, it was so annoying. All of a sudden, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, actually, we don't really like this game so much. But seriously, ever since then, like, when I've introduced it to girls, it seems like they always figure it out faster than other people's. How do we look? Are we looking good on our recording thing?
I think so.
Sweet. Yeah. Sweet. Sometimes we have recording issues because our producer is currently hanging out in other parts of the world.
Yeah, so we can't see what we've recorded so far, but I think it should be okay.
We have become our own producers. Maybe we're doing all right. Okay, so that was our big discovery for the last couple days. And the other big thing that happened since we last spoke was League. We went to League yesterday morning. And that's, of course, our league is D1, Renmei's D1. And I had a pretty good day. Oh, yeah, actually, funny thing about yesterday. We're getting called to our tables, and Jen and Garth's name come right one right after the other, so we were at the same table yesterday.
And that was emphasized as well.
That was emphasized? What do you mean?
It's like, Jen and Garth. Jen and Garth!
Oh, I did not notice that.
And then I told him I couldn't play with somebody as bad as you.
Yes, I hate playing with somebody as bad as me, too.
And it proved true. You were so bad that I lost yesterday.
I was awful yesterday. I could not do anything but win. I won. I think I won the first three games, didn't I?
Yeah, and you were a jerk about it. And after you lost the last game, it was all we could hear about. Even though, like, you brought me down. So I was going to get my first positive of the day, but you slammed your one down. Like, oh, 400, 700. And that was devastating to me.
Yes, and I did that after I drew it and thought about it for a good 5-10 seconds.
And then you slammed it down like a jerk. Yes.
Total, absolute jerk. And if you all were here, you could see that Jen's lips were actually going to make a different word from the word jerk. right before she said that. Yes, I was not a graceful winner or loser yesterday.
I have to say, I really enjoy playing Mahjong with you, but yesterday was just not very fun to play with.
Yeah, and you did make a comment in the middle about it, about how slowly we were playing, and I have noticed lately that I really slowed down a lot.
Well, everybody, I mean, you could tell by the clock how slow everyone is playing, because for the first three games took us...
4 hours, right?
4 hours, yeah. Mm. And it should be less than an hour per game.
Right.
And then the last game, after I'd mentioned it to you, I think you and I sped up, and it helped them speed up as well. Because you really do play at the speed the other people are playing. Right. So whoever it takes, if one person is slow, then that will move.
Yeah, so I think I probably was the one that ended up starting that off.
And I'm not sure. The other guy was really slow, too.
The really
bad guy was slow. And the pretty decent guy was, I think it moved to him and you. And then it moved to me, but by the time I noticed it, I started playing faster. It wasn't like till the third game.
The other guy, he plays with us in North Kanto, yeah? Isn't he in North Kanto? I think Takazawa. His name was Takazawa? Kind of remember him.
There was Takazawa and Takahashi, I think, yesterday.
Huh. Yes, and
you know... Oh, shit, I didn't want to say his name because...
Oh.
Hopefully there's not too many Japanese players listening to this.
Yes, who understand.
I won't say which one was bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, whichever one was bad definitely beat me, so it doesn't really matter.
Yes, and you did beat the crap out of me in that final game, too. With
Dude,
help from me.
You're just giving it all away.
Well, yeah, but they can't see the score, can they?
I guess everybody beat you in the final game because you were last place, so...
I was last place. I won the final hand to save last place. I'm not sure what crazy things could have happened. I guess it's funny in that situation. Like, a lot of people say, like, you know, why would you win on the last hand if you're not going to change the placings in the game? I definitely heard varying viewpoints on that. I mean, I think we've talked a little bit about this
before. Yeah, but I think in League it's pretty general consensus that in League, especially if it's not the last game of the League, then you win that.
Right.
No matter what. And especially when you bring someone else down so there's three negatives.
But it would have been a much bigger deal if there were if it was possible for there to be three positives, because then I would have minus 12.
Yeah.
It didn't really change things so much for me. It just meant like another plus 1.1 points.
Yeah, but overall in the standings, you're giving more people negative points, so that's better for you.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Yes. So, I actually had a pretty good day. I finished plus 40.9, which gives me a total of 54.3, which, given the standings before yesterday, would put me in fifth place. I'm not sure how much that's going to change. Probably the fifth place border is going to move up a little bit. But five people move up, so I'm probably in good shape for the possibility of moving up.
God, I hope you don't. Now that I said that, you're going to.
I don't know. I had a pretty lame second session, so I'll probably do the same thing in the fourth session. Maybe I'll clean it up in the fifth. Who knows?
I got all the negative, all the positive that I got last time was negative this time, so I'm back to my minus 50 penalty.
Well, oh, I forgot to check the border for the moving down peoples. But
I went away from the website.
Oh, okay. we'll just talk about that later, some other time then.
Let's not talk about it. It's too negative.
All right, yes. We'll just ignore that whole subject.
Yeah.
It'd be a non-event.
But also, your apartment's looking better.
Oh, yes.
You've been cleaning your apartment.
That is thanks to who? It's definitely not thanks to me.
You've been cleaning, too.
A little bit, yes. Thank
and
you.
And you've been giving approval for me to throw stuff away.
Yes. It is pretty awesome. I could probably actually have guests here again. It would not be embarrassing. Thank you. Okay, getting back to Mahjong.
There was something I wanted to say about cleaning your apartment, but I forgot. Oh, well.
I know, it was an interesting sort of total non-segue that I was not sure what.
Well, I don't know, we're talking about what happened between the last podcast and this podcast.
Oh, right.
And there
was
something interesting about cleaning your apartment that I wanted to talk about, but I just don't remember.
Finding games like Set and Mahjong.
Oh, yeah, that was why we found Set. Because we're cleaning, so.
Backgammon and Boggle. We could play Boggle now, too. Or Backgammon.
I'm never, ever playing Boggle with you, ever. Because I played that words game on iPod with you.
And I kept not finishing.
No, not because that one. The other one where you search for, it's basically like Boggle.
Oh, yeah. Scramble, I think it is.
Yeah. And, like, just you're always, like, placed of, I'm fit, like, level 52 and you're level 0.
Uh-huh.
But just because you're the highest amount of words, your record,
uh-huh,
or the highest amount of words you ever found is higher, you're always ranked above me.
Well, it's true. When I was working as a software engineer, I did play a lot more Boggle than work as a software engineer. I got really good at Boggle. I'm telling you, in real life, like on the computer, on the internet, I've definitely lost a lot of games, but playing against actual people, I have never, ever lost since.
Can they read what you've written, though?
Pardon?
Can they read which words you got, though?
Oh, no. No, it is pretty serious scribble. Sometimes I really have problems, too, except that I just wrote it so then I can, like, oh, yeah, that's what that word is. But, yes, I will challenge anybody in Boggle, and I'm afraid I will just have to kick your
behind. I will just never, ever play you in Boggle, ever. Backgammon, maybe.
Yes. In fact, I would beat entire groups of people.
I kind of want to play that Sesame Street game you've got over there. I'm not
sure
what it is.
Oh, wow, that's interesting that you choose that game, because that's somebody's present.
Oh, it just looks like something that's more my level, game-wise.
Yes.
Like,
don't
ages
worry,
three
be
and
happy.
Up, right?
It is definitely a young person's game. Okay, getting back to Mahjong, one other big result from the weekend was the Dutch Red Fives tournament in Duchenneghemmen or something like that.
In the Netherlands?
In the Netherlands, yes. We could just say the Netherlands.
Yep.
It's not so much bigger than, say, Tokyo Prefecture anyway, so it's like, right. yes, sorry, in case it is bigger than Tokyo Prefecture, no offense to the Netherlanders.
All of Japan is only, like, the size of California, so
yes.
It's already tiny for us.
There were two events. One was just for a Dutch ranking, and one was for the MERS ranking. The first event was won by Annemieke Hesselink, And the next day's MERS ranking event was won by Aniki Kyle. Runners-up Janine Stoltemeyer and Marion Peerdeman. Janine Stoltemeyer was also the overall winner, trophy winner for the whole weekend. So looks like there's still a lot of people having fun playing in the Netherlands. And it looks like there was a field of, say, 32. So way to go. Way to get some people playing and having fun playing Reach Mahjong. Always like to hear about more Reach Mahjong events.
Looks like there are even more, maybe 36.
Oh, yes, 36 in
for part one.
Part one event.
Yeah.
And then in the part two event was 32, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. It's like one is ranked and one is not, it looks like. So maybe it's just the
cool,
people
yes.
who aren't ranked.
When we get more rich and famous, then we can just start tooling around to these events ourselves and then start cleaning up trophies everywhere.
I would love to be rich.
Yes, it would be fun to go take part in some of those events in Europe. But maybe, you know, who knows if this, if the world championship talk goes anywhere, maybe we'll have more chances to play against the European players. Okay, and that brings me to strategy for this weekend, or for this week's talk. Small ball play. And as the guy on High Stakes Poker says, that's not playing in cold water. That is not playing like the most expensive way that you can. And like this is, I think we've probably at least brushed over this sort of subject before. But one thing that got me thinking about it was my interview with
Seto Kuma.
Yes, Seto Kuma, who recently won the 10 Steps Tourney. And when I was looking at the way he played, one of the biggest things that really surprised me was the places that he did not reach. And not only did he not reach there, he also didn't seem to be giving up the hand either.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed really strange, like, you know, if your hand is already in a final shape and you've already decided that you're going to go for it, why not reach? Like, it seems strange. And he turned the question back around to me. He's like, well, why should you reach there? And I said, like, you would reach there? And I said, yes, I would. And then he says, well, why? I don't understand. Is it just because it's easier? Then you don't have to think anymore about whether or not you're going to change your hand because
you've
just reached.
That would be my reason. Anything that keeps me from thinking.
Well, that is one way out. My reason that I gave him was the fact that I hate to play cheaply. I hate the fact that if I did win the hand, I could have won more.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, getting a 12,000 point hand, I didn't reach. So then I won the hand. So I only got 8,000.
Yeah,
points.
I noticed that. Like, you win the hand, and you're like, oh, it's only this much. Like, you are never ever happy with results ever, even when you have awesome results.
I was happy when I won North Kanto.
Okay, but I guess there's nothing bigger than that.
Yes.
But then you're also like, I don't know.
There's one final result that's okay, and that's the result that will make me happy. Winning everything. That's definitely happifying. But I did try it yesterday in a few different situations, and at least yesterday, obviously, I was pretty successful. I don't know, did you happen to notice me playing smaller than I normally do?
No, because every time you won off me, it was like 8,000. I guess you won 2,600, but I thought you said 8,600. So.
But that was a reach when I did that, right? I think that was a reach, and you threw it. You happened to throw it Ippatsu. It was the one of dots that time. But I had to reach in that situation because I didn't have a hand point. In that situation, if the one or four of cracks had come, or no, if the four of whatchamacallits, well, actually I was definitely going to reach because I would have had the possibility of three colored runs if the four of bamboos had come, but instead the three of bamboos came, which gave me three threes of bamboos, which meant that I had no hand point and I had to reach. So yes, that situation I had to reach because I didn't have any hand points. But there was another one where I think it was your turn as dealer, and do you remember the Dora was maybe the six of bamboos, I think it was maybe the third game, and maybe both of the other players had reached. Either both of the other players had reached, or one of them had reached, and you had reached, and I was clearly not giving up the hand, while also not reaching. And I as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, God, you know, I really want to reach in this situation, but I don't... I kind of told myself I was not going to reach in this situation, where the only thing that would really stop me is if I drew another Dora. I didn't want to drop one of those. But that pretty much everything else I was probably just going to throw away. Like, I was throwing away other tiles that were not clearly safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that Setekuma did also that really puzzled me in his thinking. And what he ended up saying was that when he is not dealer, in Japanese they say child or ko, he doesn't want to... He tends not to reach.
Mm.
He tends to play much smaller when he's not dealer. And by contrast, he ends up making some really strange reaches when he is dealer. And I guess there is definitely that strategy to protect your turn as dealer, because it is more... I don't know, it is a little bit more fear-inducing to other players when the dealer reaches than
mm-hmm.
when just, you know, a non-dealer reaches, because it's bigger points. And so it's a way to protect your turn as dealer to reach. And, God, in that last game, that's another mistake I made. My turn as dealer, I got to Tenpai with a bad weight, so I decided to not reach and hope that I could get a better weight, or actually if I drew another tile, if I drew another one of cracks in that situation, I could have changed to three colored runs.
Mm.
But in the meantime, somebody else caught up and reached, and then I ended up reaching later with just a Tsumogiri reach, and I ended up throwing his winner. And it probably would have been, there's a good chance that it would have been a very different sort of hand had I reached as soon as I got to Tenpai and forced the other players. He might not have ended up going for it in that situation.
I don't know, man. I think he would have gone, but I don't think he was giving up anything ever.
That guy. That was the guy
that's
also from North Kanto.
He
played kind of solid, although, and one of his things, I definitely feel like he played
gave
that
up
way.
Sometimes the other guy didn't.
Yeah, he did give up a fair amount, especially when he wasn't dealer, and he was doing that very same sort of strategy. When he was dealer, he would just reach with anything to protect his turn as dealer, and he did also have a pretty good finish for the day. So. This idea of playing, you know, small ball, like, don't make it so big, is definitely something I'm trying to, like, work into my game. Because when you, especially reaching, when you reach, it really forces the other players to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means that if somebody else gets to a final shape, they're going to be more likely to reach. And so not only are you making your hand more expensive by doing that, you're actually making somebody else's hand possibly more expensive by doing that, too, because you're sort of... If they do end up going for it, you're encouraging them to go for a reach, which is what I did when I was playing. I did get a kind of big hand against one of those guys, and it was a weird situation when I reached with waiting for Dora with seven pairs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that hand in the very first game, and it was the sort of weaker guy's turn as dealer, and I kind of had a feeling, I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure he's just doing that reach because I'm dealer thing. I'm not that afraid of throwing to his winner, and if I do manage to win this hand, I want it to be as expensive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached with that one, and he ended up throwing it. And as I was doing it, I had kind of I was worried that he actually had two Dora in his hand, and that's why he actually had a strong hand that he was reaching with. But, you know, he ended up drawing Dora, he threw it to me, and then it was an 8,000-point hand because
yeah.
I had reached. So, I don't know, I'm still kind of working out how to play small ball. I'm not sure which situations I want to keep going for it and which situations not to. But, I don't know, do you have any thoughts on small ball Mahjong?
I think it's... I got a little bit too used to it because I used to have really big hands.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think I won more when I had big hands.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm just kind of like...
So recently you think you're playing... Are you not aiming for big hands, or are you just not reaching when you could, or...?
Yeah, not aiming for big hands as much as I could.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just taking the easy way instead of going for, like, you know, three-colored runs or something like that when I can.
Just kind of going for the fastest way to
mm-hmm.
Tenpai?
Yeah.
Huh.
And, yeah, it's not... I don't think it's working out very well.
Huh. All right. Well, so if we meet somewhere in the middle, perhaps both our games will suddenly shoot out into the stratosphere.
As they say with everything, it's all about balance.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and it's true. Like, I definitely, if there is one part of my game that has no balance at all, it's definitely, I end up going for really big hands, and I keep, you know, since I'm going for a big hand in the first place, I get to places where I'm sort of close to having a big hand, and then I feel like I can't give it up. Which is another reason that I've been thinking I should probably start giving hands up earlier in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It would make it a lot easier to give up later in the hand if I was already not really trying so hard in the beginning of the hand. Because, you know, once you, especially calling for tiles, once you do that, you're really committing yourself to going for it.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of, you know, stay quietly off to the side, you can still give up hands late in the hand. All right, small ball mahjong.
Yeah, I don't know. Yesterday was really frustrating because, well, I did make, I think, two kind of major mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, discarding something that, just making the wrong decision when it was an obvious decision. I did that probably twice, but other than that, I'm really happy with the way I played, but I lost so much that, like, it's a really frustrating day.
Yes, there are definitely those days. You do pretty much everything right, and then one or two mistakes, for some reason those mistakes are super huge and they really just cost you. It's really frustrating, isn't it, when you know, you see other players making mistakes and somehow it doesn't really cost them, and then when you make a little mistake, blam, it costs you like everything. You're like, oh god, why do my mistakes have to be so expensive?
Well, the thing is, the hands that I dealt into,
mm-hmm.
So when someone else won off of my discards, honestly, almost all of those were not mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Almost all of those, I had two or three Dora,
uh-huh.
And I was ready or one away from ready.
So
if they were reached, I was probably ready. And if they weren't reached, I was probably one away from ready. And
so it was definitely a hand where you had a viable, it was a reason for you to be taking a stand.
Yeah, and a lot of the situations I was dealer as well. So,
uh-huh.
I mean, those are really hard hands to give up, especially if the person is not reached and you're one away.
Uh-huh.
Then it's...
Yeah. It did seem like, you know, we all have those frustrating days sometimes where it just never seems to work out.
Yeah, so I don't know, I wasn't unhappy with the way I played
for the most part.
But I was really unhappy with the result.
Yeah.
And it was even worse sitting next to somebody that won as much as you and you're complaining.
Oh, yes, I do have to work on my graceful exits. All right, that about wraps it up for our subjects this week. Let's see, things to talk about. Events that are coming up. There's the Mahjong Con tournament at the Animation Festival or conference in Chicago. That's the weekend of the 19th of this month.
Yeah.
If you are around Chicago, check that out.
They asked us to come to Chicago sometime, which would be great, but it probably won't be soon for us, unfortunately.
Might be a little while from
now. Even when we're in the U.S., we're on the wrong coast.
Yes. Speaking of that coast, on the other coast, also this week, I believe, is the event in their Open Mahjong Day in New York. That's the U.S. Professional Mahjong League. If you happen to be in New York, check those guys out.
And there's a group in Seattle that's meeting a lot as well, the one that I couldn't meet last week. But hopefully I'll make it for the holidays, so check that out too. They're on Facebook.
If you're in Poland, the Polish Mahjong League is having their, I think, yearly event, also the weekend of the 19th through 20th, or 20th, or 21st, somewhere around that weekend of this month. So give those guys a shout if you happen to be around there. Places you can find us. We found one yesterday, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. That was fun. You need to put the pictures of that up. And you sent me one picture.
I did finally, eventually, when I woke up this morning, after quite a few beers last night, send you the other two pictures. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, it took me so long to get that off. But the place we found ourselves yesterday
was... The other two pictures? What about the ones we took at the...
Oh, yes,
pachinko?
All of those two. Okay. Yes, I got to send all of those pictures.
Yeah.
We found our pachinko game in Shimbashi. And actually, according to a lot of people, it's in a lot of places.
That's great. Nangoku Mahjong.
Pretty exciting. Nangoku Mahjong starring us. And
there was a guy playing it next to us, too.
He was, and kind of looking at us sometimes like, whoa, those people look familiar.
And it was really embarrassing when we had to when the guy had to come over and show us how to play. Because I've played Pachinko before. There's no reason that I should need someone to show me. But
I know, I really did not know what to do.
And then, like, there was this little button that I was pushing because I had never seen a button like that, so I thought it had to be pushed. And the guy's like, don't push that. I'm like, what is it there for? There's a button on the knob.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I did not notice that button. The buttons I noticed were the buttons on the top, like, kind of...
Yeah, to pick the character.
Oh, that's what that's doing?
Yeah.
Huh, I had no idea what was going on.
I think you can change the character throughout the game and
I'm going to have to go find that game again and watch myself, oogle myself, just because I am so vain. So yes, Nongoku Mahjong is currently in Mahjong Parlors. You can find...
In Pachinko Parlors.
Or Pachinko Parlors, yes, Pachinko Parlors. We are in that game, along with Gravia Idol Natsuki. Also, she's the main star.
Yeah, but we came up a lot in that.
Yeah, actually, I was pretty surprised. It was kind of fun. And and our crazy voices, too, like saying goofy, weird Mahjong things that don't actually make any sense. Let's see, other places. We are, of course, on Mahjong Fight Club, Konami's arcade Mahjong game, and Ronron, that's Japan JPML's online Mahjong site.
Yep.
And we are on Twitter. I'm Garth E, GARTHEEE, on Twitter. You can find me there, and Jen at what?
Mahjong Jen, MAHJONGJEN.
Look for our website, reachmahjong.com. We have lots of stories about Mahjong and tips and columns on how you can improve your game. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, I am Garth E, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com. And your address?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com. And all those should be up again.
Oh, yes.
The site went down.
We discovered a little problem with the site this morning, but it should be happening again soon.
Yep, it should have been, I think it would be at East Coast time, just at 3:09 p.m. I wonder what, because last night it was working, so that I wonder which time zone that is.
Interesting.
But it's back.
Yes.
It should be back. Well, right. It will be back, otherwise you won't be listening to this, so.
Yes, your evidence that it is back is that you can hear this.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please drop a line and enjoy playing Mahjong.